We've mentioned this a couple of times on the program, Jim. Simon Atkins, the former Footscray and Fitzroy Cinnamon, is completing his fifth year in charge of the Tigers.
We'd written him off a couple of weeks ago, hadn't we?
And Atkins has taken the club to the finals three of the four previous years, reaching the grand final in 2005 and the prelim final last year. Another trivia question, got you on the hop.
Mm-hmm.
He is one part-time coach. Who is the other part-time coach in the VFL?
Part-time coach? I actually spoke to him. Who is it?
Part-time coach?
Yeah. Works for the Crane people.
No, that's Simon Atkins.
Oh, is it? Okay. I actually, someone answered the phone and they said it was some company. And who did we speak to last week? Peter German.
No, he's full-time.
Okay.
Shannon Grant.
No, I wasn't him then because...
You and him don't get along.
Well, I haven't spoken to him since we...
Since he hung up on you.
Since he...
He doesn't like you.
Yeah. During the week, I had a couple of minutes to spare. And I went through the teams that have appeared in the finals since 2003.
Okay.
And made a fictitious ladder. Now, these are actual games played. So
these are on finals results, aren't
they? These are on finals results. Sandringham is sitting on top with 10 wins and 3 losses. Then Port Melbourne second, 7 wins, 6 losses.
Now, in that time, Sandringham have won 3 premierships.
Yep. North Ballarat are third with 6 wins and 4 losses. Williamstown
one premiership.
Are behind them on percentage only, 6 wins and 4 losses. There's a 5% difference. Geelong are fifth on 5 wins and 3 losses. Werribee next with Tasmania and Box Hill all on 4 wins. But Werribee have lost 7, Tasmania lost 3, and Box Hill have lost 4. But the percentages break them up. Werribee with 100. Tasmania 96 and Box Hill 81. Coburg Tigers are followed with 2 wins. Frankston with 2 wins and the Bullants with 2 wins. Again, the percentages break them up with Coburg on 102. Frankston 98 and Bullants 78. And the two teams, or there's three other teams, Bendigo and Casey have 1 win each. Bendigo losing 4 and Casey 3, and then Collingwood haven't made the finals as a standalone club. I didn't include the alignments with Williamstown and the other clubs because they're already
in the mix yep.
Earlier. So it's good. Over that time, Sandringham have been the benchmark, and Casey, I was surprised Casey have only won one game in since 2003.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. Collingwood haven't even made the finals, but they've only had 2 years to, come up with that. So, that's probably the ladder over those 7 years.
Well, it just represents just where some of those clubs have been when it comes into the finals. I mean, Williamstown and Sandringham have definitely dominated that. But 10-3, if Sandringham get into the finals, they're going to be
that's right.
A definite threat, only losing whatever position they're in.
Tasmania was a bit of a shock. 4 wins and 3 losses. No longer a part of the competition.
Well, Tassie went on that surge and they had all those home finals.
That's right. They were given the benefit of home finals, which helped them immensely.
Now, just going through some of the stats leading into our preview for round 16. And the Casey Scorpions, they've won 7 of the last 8, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Just to... Yep. To even bolster that stat. The Scorpions have jumped from 8th at the midway mark to sit 2nd, and their percentage has risen from 108% to 136%.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge jump, because it's harder to improve your percentage as the season gets longer.
Well, Casey have been ruthless, Jimbo, it says here. They haven't allowed the opposition to kick more than 7 goals in their past 4 matches. Well, the Cats, your tip when we went through the halfway mark of the team to make the finals, have won its past 4, and with its only loss against North Ballarat. So mm-hmm.
They've won 5 of the last 6, and last week they had the bye.
And,
so they're doing all right.
Port Melbourne don't travel too well down to Frankston, do they? They've got historically, their travel record down there at Carr Street is not the healthiest.
Yep, I'll tell you what they've done at Frankston. They lost in 2003, round 9. 2005, Port Melbourne won in 2003. They won in 2005. They lost, They actually lost by 107 points in round 6, 2006. Round 1, 2007, they lost by 29 points. Round 15, 2008, they lost by 26 points. So their recent form in the last, say, 3 years has been very ordinary against Frankston.
Well, talking about recent form, North Ballarat, it's the first time under Jared Fitzgerald that they've actually lost three games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, they've dropped from first to third. Are we now right in saying North Ballarat are no longer considered a threat at the title?
Oh, definitely they are still a threat.
You haven't written them off just yet, Jimbo?
Never write a premiers off unless they miss the finals. They're always a chance. That's why they're premiers, because they're a very good football team.
So it's still, do you think today's game could be still a preview of the grand final?
I don't know about a preview of the grand final, because Port Melbourne and Casey are still in the mix, and Geelong, they're going to make a mess of a few teams along the way. But no, not a preview of the grand final, but one of those two teams could make it.
Well, I know you went through it in pretty good detail. Do you think Sandringham or Coburg can still wrestle a position away from Collingwood and Geelong?
No, neither. Not at this stage. Not unless they start winning consistently.
You don't think Sandringham's performance to kick 7 goals or 2 in the last quarter might be a season-defining moment for the Zebras?
Oh, definitely a season-defining moment. But once they lose another game, they're really in trouble.
The percentage is going to be the only thing that's going to keep them alive, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but losing another game, and I think mathematically it becomes almost or as close to impossible as it can get. Three top teams losing last week didn't do Sandringham or Coburg any favours.
And definitely
Coburg losing last week didn't do them any favours either.
Well, it's going to be... Yeah, Coburg, I don't understand what's happened there.
They've really lost
their venom.
They kicked one point
against the Scorpions in that final quarter.
Yeah, I just think they've lost the plot. I think they're relying on their experienced Richmond players too much, and it's not working. I don't know why.
I read Kane Pettifer did his knee?
Yes, he's out for the...
Fractured
his kneecap or something like that. It's definitely his kneecap is injured. He probably won't be playing another game in the VFL or the AFL. He'll probably go back to a local competition. I don't know where he exactly comes from, so...
So he's just ended his career? He's gone, Kane Pettifer?
With that sort of injury, he probably has, but I'm pretty sure he's still good enough to play local football.
Now, we're running well and good for time here, Jim. 5
yep.
to 10.
Oh, not having a guest didn't help. Yeah. Ryan didn't answer his phone, but we'll catch up to him this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll catch up with everybody out there at Coburg. Let's start the round 16 preview. Yep. The Dandong Junior Footy League show might even start on time today.
I reckon we might give him a minute or two more.
Yeah, you never know if they're lucky.
Yep.
I think Bryce has been sitting in
the studio.
Yeah,
you know what we'll do. We'll give him an extra 5 minutes and they'll play 2 songs.
Yeah, exactly. And Bryce has been sitting in Studio 2 since 7 o'clock this morning. He's still got his...
He was actually here when I arrived. He was knocking on the door trying to get in.
Yeah,
and I had the key.
He's got his Cocoa Pops on his chin still. He's been here that long.
Yep.
Geelong versus the Casey Scorpions. Last time they met was Round 8, 2009, at Casey Fields. It was the Scorpions. 16-15-111. Defeated the Cats 11-9-75. There's not many teams the Casey Scorpions haven't beaten in recent weeks. So they're up and firing. Can you see the Cats continuing their good form at the moment, Jim, who have won the last few matches they've played?
Well, you could easily say these two teams are the form teams of the competition. Casey haven't played at Geelong since Round 10, 2005. So there's a long gap between visits to Skilled Stadium. I don't even know if any of their players have actually played at the Skilled Stadium. It's hardly likely. Last three wins have been to Casey. They've rounds 14, 2007, 2008, 2009. So it's 3-0 in the last three encounters. Over their 9 meets over the last 6 years, 4-5 in favour of Casey, or 5-4 in favour of Casey. And the average score is actually higher for Geelong. They've averaged 15-11-101 to 14-12-96.
So that game's at Skilled Stadium, 10:40 this morning.
Yep.
And, we'll bring you up to date with all the scores from that game at 1 o'clock this afternoon as our First bound Saturday afternoon preview will kick off this afternoon with me and Tristan.
I think I might change my mind. I think I might go for Casey. They're in blistering form. Geelong had the bye last week. It's impossible to tell whether the bye is good or bad for these teams, but I'll go for Casey in an upset down at Skilled Stadium. When they last played at Skilled Stadium, they played three times, 2003, 2004, 2005. Geelong actually won twice of the three encounters.
My only concern with the Casey Scorpions, I mean, depends who actually plays. If Jake Spencer plays in the ruck, they might be all right, but Brett Ottens, Blake, West, some big boys there. There's some big bodies for those.
Weren't they the three in the mix for the grand final last year?
Yeah.
And so there's some. How many of them played? Two? Three?
I think Otten's played and Blake. But, so there's some big bodies in there and Pudsey Adley. So, no, I think the Cats will... doesn't really matter because the Scorpions, nothing's going to derail their season.
Well, I keep writing the Scorpions off and they keep winning, so... And my big improvers for the season or since they went through the last half the year, Geelong have kept that form going, so it's really good.
Danny Hughes has been a remarkable development player there for the Scorpions.
It's not the first Danny Hughes to play at Melbourne, is he?
Huh?
It's not the first Danny Hughes to play at Melbourne.
Yeah, he had a former fullback.
Sensational fullback.
I wouldn't call him sensational.
No, he was sensational.
He was often beaten, Danny Hughes.
Was he? Oh, yeah. I mustn't have seen him as often. See, I only saw him when he played Richmond, so... So he probably might have had good games against Richmond. I remember him being a pretty good fullback, so maybe time's improved him.
They've lost the last three games. They're sitting 9 wins and 4 losses. Against the Seagulls, 11 wins and 3 losses. The last time they played was an absolute cliffhanger at Burbank Oval. That was round 8. So we're seeing a couple of games here as a round 8 replay, aren't we?
Yep.
But North Ballarat won the game at Burbank Oval. Their only team to beat the Seagulls at Burbank Oval this year, 14-16-100, defeated Williamstown 15-8-98. Well, Brett Goods, can you believe it? Someone's been suspended by the VFL Tribunal.
What'd he do? Who'd he kill? Was he a serial killer or just smoking gun situation or what?
Yeah, he...
Because I can't believe it.
He got reported for assault, striking. So, yeah.
Was it captured on film?
Oh, you can get down the street.
Or did they do a character assassination?
It was one of those.
He must be the nicest person in the VFL. Brett Goods. I've never seen him play.
Must be one of those Crime Stoppers reenactments.
They must have thought if Brett Goods has done this, he's been reported for doing it. He must have done it. Because he's never done it before in his life.
For the umpire to actually pull the book out must be something quite serious.
Yep. Yeah. When he pulled the book out of his pocket, it had an indentation in his pocket of the... Because it's the first time it had been removed from his pocket for the season.
Will the home ground advantage be enough for the Roosters to take the points against the Seagulls? Williamstown, one thing you'd have to... appreciate, and we spoke to Brad Gotch about this last week, was their resolve, their ability to win the tight games, and I think they're going to have that ability to bounce back. Matthew Little out of the team is a big hole to fill. I thought Dean Clear was very impressive last weekend. His forward line pressure was something I haven't seen from the Galah before, and he definitely battled his guts out and tried very hard, I thought, inside that forward 50 for the Seagulls last weekend. It was to no avail, though, of course, with Zebras winning comprehensively. Where can you see this game going, Jim? And give us your tip.
Yeah, last three wins for North Ballarat over the Williamstown Seagulls. The overall...
We went there last year to broadcast this game.
I think we did, and you guys got in big trouble, didn't you?
Oh,
round 12, 2008. Was that right?
Yeah, we got abused by a couple of the old Seagulls.
Yeah, it was our fault they lost.
Yeah.
I have no idea it's their fault, but obviously
no one's very happy when their team puts in a performance like that. I think they were two goals or something to half time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the commentators have no bearing on the result of the game. Over the 10 encounters since 2003, North Ballarat 10-4. Average score for North Ballarat is 14-13-97. Williamstown 14-14-98, so a point in front there for Williamstown. At North Ballarat, I think it's something like 2-1 in favour of North Ballarat. They don't often travel to, Williamstown don't often travel to North Ballarat. North Ballarat have lost their last three games. Williamstown have lost two of the last seven, so they've won, they won five straight between their two losses. As I said, last three encounters, including last year's qualifying final, probably at North Ballarat, I think. I don't have...
This is a long-winded answer to a tip.
Yeah, I'm going for North Ballarat at home.
You're trying to convince yourself going through the stats?
It's pretty hard, isn't it?
So you're going with the Roosters?
Go with the Roosters, yep. Okay. Yep. I need them to bounce back.
Well, they're facing four straight losses, the first time ever, under Jared Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Coburg 6-8 take on the Box Hill Hawks 8-6. Last time they played was round 3 at Box Hill City Oval, and the Box Hill Hawks won quite easily, 14-13-97. Defeated the Coburg Tigers 12-6-78. Today's game's at ABD Group Stadium. Tune in live from 1 o'clock.
Now, normally when I go through the head-to-heads, they're normally only played about, you know, between 7 and 10 games. These two teams have actually met 14 occasions.
Since 2003,
I think they've played each other twice in. They've only actually played one final, so
they actually have that allocated game on Anzac Day.
Yep,
there's not many actual fixed scheduled games. But
that's right.
Box Hill and Coburg are definitely one of those fixtures.
But Tigers have actually won 10 of the 14 encounters, 10-4 in favour of the Coburg Tigers. Average score 15-11-101 to 11-12-78. They won from round 3 2006 to round 13 2008. They had some like six straight wins. Coburg Tigers lost their last encounter, which was round 3 this year. They lost by 19 points at Box Hill. I think Box Hill should win today. But as I said, I haven't been very good with tipping Box Hill this year, and my recent form of tipping Coburg has been abysmal. Coburg have lost six of the last seven. Box Hill have won four of the last seven. Box Hill hopefully should win, hopefully for their sake, because they need a win.
I'm tipping Coburg in an upset this afternoon. Their forward line's just going to be too big, too strong. If Richardson plays, Schultz, Patterson, you know, some good players there. And
that's what I've been thinking the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it hasn't worked out that way.
Box Hill seem to play a quick brand of football, and
their four wins over 14 encounters is a bit of a worry.
But that's all they've won, four out of the 14.
Just four of the last 14. Yep. That's over 6 years.
So I think Coburg will win that game. Moving on to the Sunday part of round 16. You are tuned in to the Saturday morning VFL football show here on KC Radio. We mentioned at the start of the program, it is the battle of the standalone clubs. Frankston currently with 2 wins and 11 losses. Port Melbourne 9-4. They played in round 6 of this season, where Port Melbourne won 16-9-105 against the Dollies 12-12-84. That was at TAC Oval, tomorrow's game at Frankston Park. We mentioned Port don't travel too well down the highway to Frankston Park, and they've had the bye, and they're looking to really finish off the season in a healthy position. Where do you see this game going, Jimbo? Can Frankston cause another upset in knocking off the Borough?
Yeah, Frankston, with the 11 times they've met each other, 7-4 in favour of Port Melbourne. Average score 13-12-90 to Frankston to Port Melbourne's 14-13-97, so not a lot of high-scoring games there. There was one game back in round 6, 2006. Frankston won by 107 points. So that's bolstered their average winning margin, which stands at 47 with their four wins.
I think last year, what was the result there last year? Because Port Melbourne put in an absolute shocker there.
Yes, they lost 13-14-92 to 9-12-66. It's only a 26-point loss, but that was at Frankston.
I think they kicked a few goals in the last quarter, Port, to add respectability to that. From memory, they were out of the contest all afternoon.
Yeah, but generally, Port Melbourne have been pretty good. They've won three of the last four. Before that, Frankston won three straight. So they've actually won three of the last three straight, and they've only won four. So you take those three wins out, and it doesn't look very good. Port Melbourne should win. They've won three of the last four after the bye, And Frankston have just won the two, and I think those two wins are their two wins for the season. That's two in the last 4 weeks, one of them being a bye. Obviously, one bye. So before the bye, they had two wins from four rounds.
So who's your tip?
Port Melbourne.
And another round eight game on this afternoon. Oh, sorry, on Sunday is the Northern Bulllands versus Collingwood. The Bulllands 8-5, Collingwood 7-6, both teams in the eight. Probably one of the more interesting games of the round. Last time they played was in round eight, 2009. And Collingwood really did whip the pants off the Northern Bulllands. 16-8, 104 defeated the Northern Bulllands, 7-12, 54. It is our broadcast game, secondary bounce, Sunday afternoon with Chris Weaver and Darren Parkin.
Just the three encounters between these two teams since the realignment, since Collingwood stood alone. 2-1 in favour of the Bulllands. The average scores don't really mean anything because Collingwood have been absolutely all over the place, but they have averaged 74 against Northern Bulllands, 99, actually closer to 100, actually. I can't see Collingwood beating the Bulllands, but anything's possible in this game, being a Collingwood Carlton rematch.
Cameron Cloke, didn't he return to some good form over the last fortnight?
Six goals last week, and he wasn't one of the players promoted to Carlton last night.
Well, they probably would have seen on a more consistent basis, but he kicked 11 goals in the last 2 weeks, so the big man in the forward line has been operating well. I think his attack on the football was absolutely fantastic last weekend. He was hitting packs and taking good contested marks and providing some support around the ground, so I was impressed by Cameron Cloke's ability to, he's been much maligned, and I guess he's probably realising now that he has to really step up and put his name amongst the list for 2010 and beyond. Brad Fisher returns to the attack as well for the Bulllands, so they look like a pretty strong lineup. They would be disappointed if they didn't finish in the top four this year. They're definitely one of the better sides when up and running.
Well, they've got to win these.
How did Nick Stevens go last night?
He was okay. Yeah, he performed admirably.
He looked more suited to the AFL than he does the VFL.
He looks very much more suited to the VFL. The AFL. Yeah. He looks like he belongs in the VFL. In the AFL, he looks like he's a fish out of water in the VFL.
Well, I just one of those situations where when you're broadcasting, he does little things that not many other players can do, like his ability to get a hand pass out 2 inches off the ground is like nobody else I've seen in the VFL.
It was back in the 70s, there was a player called Barry Cable that played for North Melbourne, and he made a fool of himself because he was so good. He went back to Western Australia, got recruited back to North Melbourne when they picked up all the 10-year-old players and won the premiership. And the second time coming, he was brilliant. He came second in the Brownlow, I think, in his first stint. But he was just too good for the players around him, and it made him look stupid. But Barry Cable's one of the legends of the game. So it can happen. You can be too good for your teammates. You know, they might not be expecting something that's not humanly possible.
The last game of the round, the Bendigo Bombers versus Sandringham. Bendigo haven't won. Don't think they'll get close. Last time they played was round 8, 2009. So I think the fourth game out of six that we've seen is a replay from round 8.
Yep.
Which isn't really that long ago when you think about it, only 8 rounds.
Yeah.
We've had the mid-season break between there, so it's probably about 9 or 10 weeks. But in terms of a fixture, it's not the most healthiest state to be in. Sandringham, 20 goals, 16-136, defeated the Bendigo Bombers 3-6-24. 18 goal win last time.
112 points.
Can you see it getting any closer this week?
Well, Bendigo haven't beaten Sandringham since round 16, 2003. In that time, Sandringham have won 9 straight, and they've only had 2 close encounters. That was back in 2005 when they won. When Sandringham won by 6 points, and in 2007 when they won by 7 points, the other results have averaged 39. The last 3 encounters, a 33-point win to Sandringham, a 70-point win to Sandringham, 112-point win to Sandringham.
That's what they're going to win by tomorrow.
So their average score is 17-14-116. Bendigo's average score, 13-11-89. Bendigo should win very comfortably. Did I say that?
You did.
I'll edit that out I need to replay that next week when Bendigo win. Sandra Nam should win very comfortably and bolster their already healthy percentage.
I tipped the Bendigo Bombers the last couple of weeks. I thought they were close to a win, but their last quarter...
Last quarter,
I haven't seen anything like it.
Capitulation, it was called.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. 9 goals to the Bull Ants when they weren't playing particularly well in the first 3 quarters.
The one thing I wanted to mention before we wrap up the round 16 edition of the Saturday morning VFL football show. This week has seen a lot of discussion and debate over the Coburg Football Club moving to Craigieburn and splitting their games between Craigieburn and also the Coburg City Oval. People like Phil Cleary has had their opinions. I think it's time for people like Phil Cleary to stop airing their own personal grievances on a level when they should be promoting the competition.
Exactly.
Because...
Yeah, like we do.
Well, there's limited media access. He gets a weekly article to publish in Inside Football to promote the competition. Yes, Phil Cleary's there to give his own thoughts. But when he just keeps on keeping on about the same issue that he's been holding on to for years, he has to understand that this VFL competition is a living organism that continues to grow. It was established in 2000. We're getting into the 10th season now of the competition. And some people say it's not in a healthy state. I think it is. Clubs are more stronger and the competition's at a better level than it has been over that time. And an opportunity like that for the Richmond Football Club to expand into a new market can't be ignored. And unfortunately for the VFL-aligned teams, they have to understand that they're just a fixture of the main living organism being AFL. There's 10 AFL teams in Melbourne. And for them to survive, they need to be proactive. And with the survival of the AFL teams in Melbourne, it's going to provide the survival of the VFL competition the way it stands at the moment. So the VFL clubs really need to embrace it and go with it and hope that the decisions made by some of the best people in football, I mean, Peter Schwab, John Hook, have displayed great leadership over the last 18 months, and I think that people like Phil Cleary need to take the opportunity to promote the competition and not air their personal grievances, because Moreland City Council, although they're involved with the whole situation, doesn't need to be aired on a public level in a newspaper, and too often he's getting caught up with his own personal opinions. So I think it's a great move by the Richmond Football Club to look at avenues. We've seen it successful with Melbourne and also the Casey Scorpions.
Well, Casey Scorpions very successful with their relocation to Casey.
But the stand's made by everybody from the Coburg Football Club. It doesn't mean the demise of the Coburg Football Club. Doesn't mean the Coburg Football Club.
I personally think it means their survival.
Well, it doesn't mean they're closing down, and football will still be played at Coburg City Oval. So that's what's coming out of the football club, and just hope some people can actually support the ideas rather than giving it a fair old whack, because there's no need for it. The competition needs support, as Swabby's come out and said in one of his bi-weekly articles in The Record. It's time that everyone starts promoting the competition for what it is and where it's going, and not be so worried about personal bickering and beckering that can really affect football clubs. That is the end of the Saturday morning VFL football show. Hopefully next week we'll finish on a more positive note with something good to talk about the competition. Some big names return this weekend, Brad Ottens and Matthew Richardson. Make sure you tune in from 1 o'clock this afternoon for first bounce Saturday afternoon, and 1 o'clock tomorrow for the secondary bounce Sunday afternoon football. This is KC Radio, 97.7 FM.